Praise God. John 3:16. Gospel in a nutshell. God so loved the world. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The story of the gospel, the good news, is a story of love. And I want to get us thinking about love this morning. Please don't think, oh, love, heard about that before. It is so vitally important to understand love today, God's love, and to understand it more tomorrow and more the next day. And you and I will be, until Jesus comes, trying to get a real revelation of the love of God. It's that deep and wide and phenomenal that it's just, we take in what we can, and then hopefully we take in a little bit more and a little bit more. And every day it makes a difference. The more that you understand how much you're loved, the more it'll change your life. I heard a story, some of you remember, if you followed football years ago, the Pittsburgh Steelers had some really good teams, and they had a quarterback, Terry Bradshaw, and Coach Chuck Knowles, I think it was. And, of course, I think Terry's a Hall of Fame quarterback by the time he retired. But he said afterwards about Chuck Knowles, he was a great coach, and he said he was a good coach, but if he wasn't the kind of coach who would pat you on the back. It was that, you know, always looking for something that you're doing wrong. And he said, with all the good that Terry Bradshaw said, with all the good that he could have done, he could have done that much better with just an attaboy every once in a while. You can do it. Makes a big difference. Amen? And with our temperaments and everything, you know, leaders feel more like sometimes they'll get you more by driving you to where you need to go. And we dependables just sit back and watch you and smile and stay out of it. And, you know, we're all wherever we are. And the thing about human love is even when there's some there, it's not perfected yet. It's not perfect like God's love. It can be, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we have the capability, the capacity to love like Wendy was sharing with. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. But we need to see that. In the book that we're doing on Thursday night, I was reading a quote here by Richards. He said, the person who will influence your life the most is not the person you believe in, but the person who believes in you. Let me read that again. The person who will influence your life the most is not the person you believe in, but the person who believes in you. Hopefully you've had some people in your life, and maybe have now, that you know believe in you. It makes a big difference. And vice versa, when you have the other, when the people around you are not believing in you, it's a difficult place to be. But you see, we're, as born-again children of God particularly, we always have somebody who believes in us. Always. And if you think, we tend to, again, you know, to continue to preach Wendy's messages, even when we're not doing everything right, which most of the time we aren't, and we're not dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, he still believes in us. He still loves us. He's still there for us. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son and took us to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and made us new creatures in Christ Jesus and changed the old things and brought us new things and made us new. The basis of all this is his love. Love of God. If you ever watched Billy Graham's crusade, George Beverly Shea used to sing, the love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong shall forevermore endure. Saints and Angels song. Powerful love. I hope you're thinking about that this morning. Let me define it for you. Out of Vine's Greek English Dictionary, says a lot of things about it, but one of the things I wanted to read to you this morning is Christian love, whether exercised toward the brethren or toward men in general, is not an impulse of from the feelings, does not always run with the natural inclinations, nor does it spend itself only upon those for whom some affinity is discovered. What you see, there are different words in the Greek for love. This word agape actually didn't have all that meaning to it before God said that's going to be the word I'm going to use. It was just, you know, love. But there's another word phileo. It's phileo, something like that. And that particular one is the one we operate a lot of times in, and it's human love, brotherly love. And it has to do with something pleases me, so I love it. And if it doesn't please me anymore, then I don't love it anymore. That's not the love that God operates in. It's the love that we operate in a lot of times. You know, a lot of you are parents. And we have parents, obviously. So if you look back on your own experience, a lot of times with parenting, well, for example, I have good parents. I grew up in a home where I was loved. But it wasn't perfect. And Diane and I have raised a couple of kids and working with the grandkids now, and we certainly love them. But it wasn't perfect. I've shared this before. When I was growing up at home, I have a great dad. He's graduated to heaven now and waiting for us up there. But he was an over-the-road trucker, so he was gone a lot. And so my mom did most of the raising of us. My mom, I went out for football in junior high and made the team. Of course, everybody made the team back then. And my mom came to every game to watch me. I had an important position, too. I played right end on the bench, kept that bench warm. And she didn't move her at all. She was at every game, sitting back there, cold in the late fall in the upstate New York. And so, but she was there. But she wasn't perfect. My dad, like I said, he wasn't there a lot of the times. And so, and I developed a resentment without even recognizing what I was doing towards him because he wasn't there. He wasn't out drinking or anything like that. He was just working, just bringing in the money, pay for us to be raised up. Well, I carried that without recognizing. I carried that over into my own experience of being an adult. And when my kids were small, of course, I wasn't out on the road. I never left in that sense. But when they were small, I was there for them. But when they got to be, there was something about the teenage years. It's a lot different being the parent of a teenager than it is from being a parent of a toddler or before that. It's not so much that they change, I think, as we do, as much as anything, or we have to. But anyway, I became distant. It wasn't a conscious thing, it was a subconscious thing. But it was that hurt from my own experience was in me enough that I carried that on to the next generation and backed off, and they felt that. And I had to go back later and apologize because I was physically there, but I wasn't emotionally there. Those kind of things hurt, but God is always there. But we need to remind ourselves because we tend to think, yeah, but I'm not feeling him. I've done all these things wrong. I haven't done all these things right, or maybe some other congregation, but I think I can verify that I've been that way myself, that we've got to continue to do things that please him so he'll be motivated to love us, but he loves us all the time. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. But you don't have to worry about that being in the heavenly places, because later on it says we're in the heavenly places. So it's where we are. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of sons, as sons, by Jesus Christ himself, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You see, I believe in predestination. I believe that God has a destiny, had a destiny here for us before we got here. But I also believe that whether we reach it or not is up to us. There is a destiny, but it doesn't just happen just because that's what God wants. God wants us healed. He wants us healthy. He wants us wise. He wants us happy, you know, all those things. But whether we reach that or not, he's made us capable of it, but whether we reach it or not, it's up to us. Verse 6, to the praise of his glory, of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. I remind myself just about every morning, I am a born-again child of God, an heir of God, joined heir with Jesus Christ. I am forgiven. I am accepted in the beloved. I am qualified for all the promises of God. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm sanctified, justified, made more than a conqueror, and nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. It's good things to remind yourself of. And it needs to be not just something I rattle off quick, but think about everything along the way. Well, I'm forgiven. That's big. And accepted in the beloved. I've already been accepted. I don't have to go to God and see if I can get accepted. I don't have to work at being accepted. I am accepted, praise God, before God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Praise you, Lord. Verse 4 through 8 is a great definition of love. One of the things you can do is, especially if I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. If you have the Amplified version, and you can get it online even for these four or five verses. And where it says love, you can put yourself in there. Because again, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, Amplified, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, or is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. You could say it's not moody. It takes no account of the evil done to it and pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. It bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. And that all starts from God to us. So we could sit around and think about all the times we've failed and what we're doing wrong, or we could meditate on how much he loves us. What you could almost say we become what we meditate on. Y'all are quiet this morning. Think about, let me go back to this one I wanted to repeat again. Verse 6, and it does not rejoice at injustice and in unrighteousness, but rejoice when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Back, go back far enough. Let's see. Verse 5, for not self-seeking, not touchy or fretful or resentful, takes no account of the evil done to it, and pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. You think we've wronged the Lord at any time over the years? Been born again children of His? And God pays no attention. See, I say that because I know how I've operated, and I start thinking, but you know, well, I'm needing help, Lord, but do I have any right to ask for help because I haven't prayed enough? Maybe haven't been treating my wife like I should. You know, all the kind of things come to your mind. And yet, we're paying attention to something God isn't paying any attention to at all. And then when we take that from Him and recognize it's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we begin to see, not only am I loved to that degree, but I can love that same way. I'm capable, and you're capable of loving the same way. Jane was just sharing about what her and Josh had been through with a work situation where they were treated unfairly. But, you know, they can walk away from that, walk through that, and not be brought down by that, as she's sharing, because love of God is shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Spirit. You can pray for people who misuse you instead of spending the rest of your life being downtrodden and poor old me. And, you know, there comes to a place in our road of life where we come to a fork and we're going to take one way or the other. Choose well, grasshopper. Make a good choice when it comes to those things. You know, I've seen people, unfortunately, where they've come to a difficult time, and yeah, was it painful? Absolutely. But they were brought down by it for the rest of their life. Children of God. Lose a loved one. That's a difficult thing. But life goes on, and God is there, and He loves us. And He'll help us through. I've been using the scripture a lot in Hebrews chapter 4. Come boldly, successfully, to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. Find grace to help in time of need. And I remind myself, it doesn't say come to the throne of judgment. Come to the throne of grace. God's ability in us to do what we couldn't do on our own. Supernatural favor, divine influence. Come to that throne, that grace. And find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And guess what you find? Mercy and grace to help in time of need, praise God. So it's also this, we need to learn to walk with each other with this kind of love. Forgive, with, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times Christians are the most judgmental people that you ever met. And also, you know, we need to learn to stop the criticism. Christians can be the most gossipy people you ever met. Also, let me just throw this out there because it's been on my mind for a few days. I had a friend years ago. He was telling me how people always seem to come to him and bring this gossip. You know, one of the things about gossip is you find yourself, you're just as much of a purveyor of that if you say it and if you listen to it, either way. One of the ways that we stop that is we say, I'm not listening to that. I'm sorry. I love you, but I don't need to hear this. And so this guy was telling me, my friend of mine was telling me, and he doesn't know why the people keep coming to him and bring this stuff. And I recognize after a while, I had to watch myself, you got to refuse to listen. if you listen. People will go to somebody that they figure will listen. When, you know, one of the things you can do is, I have trouble with old Henry there. Okay, well, let's go to Henry, and I'll stand with you, and we'll tell him the problem that you have, because the biblical principle is, you have a problem with somebody, you go to them. There's a word in the New Testament. What's the word that the King James uses? It means party spirit. It has the idea of trying to get people on your side. We're gonna get this together because I don't like what you're doing, and I want other people to not like what you're doing too. So we can try to change you by getting enough people that don't like what you're doing. Not that any of us would ever get involved in anything like that. I used to belong to a union, and I think unions are necessary in a lot of situations, but in this particular case, it was that same type of thing, where we don't like what's going on, and so we're going to gather everybody together and tell them we don't like what's going on. There isn't anything that'll destroy the work that God's trying to do in a church like that kind of strife. But you know, we the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We can stop it because we love. Sometimes love is tough. Amen? All right. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 6. For if we are in Christ Jesus, this amplified version, for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. And we could say it this way. There's no value at all to law keeping. No value at all to legalism. Doesn't have any value at all. I'm going to dot all the I's, cross all the T's. Good. Doesn't have any value, but good. It's better to be on the other side of that. I am this person, so therefore I can do that. But I'm going to do that so I can become this person. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus, so therefore I can walk in line with that. Now, look at the end of the verse. For only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. That's what counts for something. Faith, which is activated, energized, expressed, and working through love. Again, legalism counts for nothing. The Vine's dictionary says, legalism is incapable of producing results. Think about that. Legalism is incapable of producing results. I'm going to start praying more. Well, good, but that in itself is not going to produce results. I'm going to read my Bible more. Again, I read my Bible because that's good for me. I should be reading my Bible because it's good for me and because I'm a child of God, and he doesn't feed us with natural bread alone, but he feeds us with the Word of God. The sustenance comes to the Word. Do you understand that there's a difference between the two? God's not looking for law keepers. Jesus kept it so that we could receive Him and walk in that the strength of that through His strength. 1 John chapter 4. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Verse 18. First John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Word for fear, there's phobos. It's all the different fears, you know, phobias. No fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. See, what I'm trying to get and stumbling trying to get it across is God loves us perfectly. And he's put in us a capability of loving perfectly, but we're, most of us, all of us, are being perfected yet. We're working on this perfection, and so we haven't loved perfectly. We haven't been loved in a natural way perfectly, but we tend to judge God the same way. You know, so I was using my dad for an example. He wasn't there every day when I was growing up. So I, without thinking about it, without planning on it, I looked at my father God the same way. You tend to do that, you know, a lot of times. Your spiritual father and your natural father, you look at them the same way. And so I believed my natural dad loved me. I believed that God loved me. But I didn't see God as wanting to be involved with me in an everyday basis of what I was going through. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just like, he's there, and but it's kind of a distant thing, and he loves me, and he'd like to see everything turn out well, but as far as everyday life, he's not really that into what's going on with me. Well, it's difficult when you're going through difficult times to feel like God's kind of distant. And so I've had to work on changing my attitude, meditating and changing my mind and my heart, getting my heart straightened out of seeing God that way. You can just rattle off, God loves me, I know he loves me, or you can work on really getting it deep into your heart so it changes your attitude. He's interested in everyday moments of your life. When it says perfect love casts out fear, it means wanting nothing to completeness. There's nothing more that God could do to love you more. If you're thinking, God would love me more if I did this, he cannot love you more. He won't love you less. That is almost too big for our minds to handle, but that's the truth. And it makes all the difference in the world. The more we understand it, the more difference it makes in our life. Strong's, Vine says this word perfect, referring to the complete revelation of God's will and ways, whether in the completed scriptures or in the hereafter. Complete revelation of God's will and ways. Perfect love. Amplified Bible says it this way. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. So he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. Fear brings with it the thought of punishment. So also he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. Fear, love casts out all fear. Second Timothy 1:7 says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but what? Yeah. So, thinking about we can put things off and put things on. We can put off the spirit of fear and put on power, love, and a sound mind. Pretty good exchange, if you think about it. Because if you're dealing with fear, and I've dealt with it, it's not any fun, you can deal with it by putting it off and putting on power, love, and a sound mind. And perfect love will cast out fear. When we recognize how loved we are, there wouldn't be any reason at all to be afraid. The Living Bible says it this way, 1 John 4:18. We need to have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. No fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us and shows that we are not fully convinced that he really loves us. We're not really convinced that he really loves us if there's fear. So you put the fear off. It's not pretending that you're not afraid. Sometimes we have to start out feeling the fear, but we can move forward and put that off because we can put on. Go over to 2 Timothy 1:7. We can put on these other things. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Circle those words if you want to in your Bible. Power, love, sound mind. The word for power is the word dunamis. Heard that word before? If ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost come upon you, be witness unto me. That's what we receive. Power. And then love is agape, which we've been defining this morning. And then this word for sound mind is interesting. It's a two-part word in the Greek. The first part is saved, second part, mind. So what it says is saved mind. Put off the fear, put on dunamis, agape, and a saved mind. It's the same word that's used. Remember the story with Jesus with the Gadarene demoniac? Came over there and found that guy with thousands of demons. And then he was able to deal with the guy and cast the demons out. They went into the pigs. The pigs ran into the water and destroyed themselves. And then they said the disciples, the people returned, and they found this guy in his right mind. Same word. Saved mind. Praise God. When we get born again, saved, it's our spirit that changes. We are responsible to use God's power to work on our minds and change the way we think and put off and put on. Amen? But we can put that on because, you know what, Paul also said in 1 Corinthians, we have the mind of Christ. Praise God. So our part in this is not trying to please God, it's just doing what he says to do, because we are somebody, we can meditate on the right things. We can not meditate on the wrong things. Not that that's going to please God. It's beneficial to us. Don't be a legalist. Recognize how loved you are. I think, don't you think, too, that it's easier to recognize and feel God's love for us when we love that way ourselves, and harder when we don't. When you're treating the people around you in an unloving way, it's more difficult to see God loving us. The more that you see God, his love for you, the more that you're going to want to treat the people around you well too, even when they're not treating you well, right. One more scripture. Romans chapter 8. The end of the chapter, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? God is for us. Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. In other words, if there's somebody who can condemn, it would be Jesus, but he doesn't. He came, died for us, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, pressure, life's pressure, distress, or persecution, famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, times are difficult, especially for apostles like Paul. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principality. I'm sorry, I missed the words, didn't I? Yet we are, in all these things, we are more than conquerors to him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing